100% born in the Appalachian Mountains and made in the USA, Timber Ninja Outdoors provides a range of mobile hunting options to accommodate diverse hunting preferences. Whether you prioritize comfort, lightweight design, or versatility, their two-panel and single-panel saddles collection has something for everyone. The Black Belt Nano is the lightest single-panel saddle available on the market, weighing in under a pound. The saddle is designed with the minimalist hunter in mind, focusing on lightweight functionality and breathability. One notable feature is the patent-pending magnetic stick clip system on the side, which allows for convenient transportation of sticks up the tree, as well as a built-in platform holder. The Nano saddle can be folded up to the size of a Nalgene bottle, enabling easy portability. With a four-way stretch material on the back for a comfortable fit, as well as strategically placed padding for hip pinch relief, you can use code EASTMEETSWEST to get free shipping on any Timber Ninja order. If you try it out and don't like it, send it back within 30 days for a full refund. Learn more at TimberNinjaOutdoors.com and sign up for their email newsletter for exclusive discounts and product drops. When it comes to optics, I get the same question over and over again. What are the best all-around binoculars? Well, it's tough to find something that works in every condition great, but after using a pair of Maven B1.2 10x42s, I think I found them. They feature an 8x or a 10x option, superior low light performance, tack sharp edge-to-edge clarity, a generous depth of field, and a silky focus mechanism. All of Maven Optics have a lifetime no-fault warranty and hail from the great state of Wyoming. I've been using Maven Optics since I bought my first pair in 2017, and I think you should test them out for yourself. Head over to mavenbelt.com and use the code EASTMEETSWEST-GIFT for a free gift with any full-price optics order. For all of those that want a truck bed cover for work or play, Diamondback makes the top-of-the-line, heavy-duty covers that help you do more with your truck. They're perfect for the truck-owning, avid sportsmen, outdoor enthusiasts, and weekend project warriors. I'm currently using the HD cover that is capable of holding up to 1,600 pounds on the top. And then I have the Yakima Overhaul HD bars on top so I can put my rooftop tent on it. When I'm not using my rooftop tent and able to use the trifold design of the Diamondback, I have the Crossbin 8 in there to organize all of my stuff in the back of my truck bed. Diamondback is made right here in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. If you want to check them out, head over to diamondbackcovers.com. If you've wanted that hunting camp tradition that we talk about, that experience, but you don't have a hunting camp of your own, you're welcome to come stay at my hunting camp up here in the Pennsylvania Wilds called the Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds. So if you go over to Airbnb, you can check out our three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house that's right in the heart of Pennsylvania elk country. It's only minutes away from a bunch of public land to be able to hunt, hiking trails, outdoor recreation, fishing, all of those things there. The house is completely fully stocked with everything that you need to be able to spend a week hunting deer, taking your family up to see the elk, anything like that. So if you head over to Airbnb and search Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds, you'll find my listing there and you can rent out my house. Send us a message, an inquiry that you're interested in it and mention that you heard it on the podcast here, then we'll get you 10% off of your first stay.
Are you an adventurer looking to take your hunt to the next level? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the East Meets West Hunt Podcast presented by Spartan Forge. On today's episode, I am joined by Kip Folks, co-founder of Under Armour, founder of Big Truck Farms, business partner in other endeavors, and an avid hunter. We discuss the chaos of running a business, Kip's new outfitting business, Bushwhack Alaska, applying backcountry skills in the field, bears and bear hunting, selling his Pennsylvania dream property, and much more. On this week's Mountain Buck Monday Story of the Week, we have a story coming from Kyle Crisafoli out of New York. So Kyle wrote in, after spending most of my years hunting on private property in New York that's overrun with four-wheelers and other hunters crossing borders, in 2017, I decided it was time to start hunting big woods of public land. With state land only 45 minutes from my house, I started doing some scouting there. I also decided to venture into Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half from me. While scouting and hunting them for 3 years, I learned about the differences between private and public. The 2020 season started with high hopes, with pictures of good bucks in both states. With that being said, deciding which state and or spot to hunt became overwhelming with the thought of going here versus there. I might miss something going on over any other spot. On November 5th, I sat all day in Pennsylvania seeing nothing but a doe and a yearling. I went back in the 6th to the same stand, sat till 11, and saw nothing. Doubting myself, I called a good friend, and he told me to get out and head to the public in New York. So I got down and headed right to my stand there. I arrived around 2 p.m. and made my hike to the spot. About 200 yards from my stand, I started running a scent drag. When I got to my stand, I hung it on a sapling and then hung a few more around it. While hanging my last one, I heard a snort wheeze and leaves rustling. And I looked up to where I walked in to see a dandy buck running away right where I walked in. I blew it. I sat the rest of the night hoping he would return, but knew it probably wouldn't happen. I returned to the spot the following day and did the same routine. I sat in the dark and said a little prayer to my grandfather who had passed away a year ago to the day. At 8:45 a.m., I heard a few leaves rustling and he came walking into a perfect 20-yard shot. I started the draw and nicked my release just enough for it to come off and my arrow come unknocked. I thought to myself, I blew it again. Luckily for me, the buck never heard it, so I was able to re-knock my arrow. After all that, he had made his way out to 35 yards by then, but I was able to make a shot on him. I sat and thanked my grandfather and started making phone calls. It was a hunt I'll never forget, and I'm hooked on big woods hunting ever since. Congratulations, Kyle. That's an awesome story. And man, I think any of us can relate when you have, whether it's multiple states or multiple spots, I'm thinking, should I be here? Should I be there? And pretty cool that that worked out that the way it did. And I'm sure your grandfather is proud looking down on you with how that all worked out. And such an awesome buck. So anybody that's listening to this, you can see the photos of this buck over on Instagram, East Meets West Hunt, or Facebook, East Meets West Outdoors, and be able to take a look at it. And if you have a mountain buck story that you want to submit, send it into my email, bo@eastmeetswesthunt.com, and put in the subject line, Mountain Buck Monday, just a short paragraph or two, and some photos of the hunt, the buck, whatever. I'd love to be able to share that with the audience. I've had so many come in here recently. So thanks everybody for sending those in. Love being able to share them. And with that being said, this will come out the day after Christmas. So I hope that everyone had a great Christmas and holidays with your family and friends and enjoying that time. So with that being said, I hope that you have a great rest of your week. And if you like the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, anyone you think can get some value out of it, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe on YouTube. Appreciate it. All right. We are live. Kip Folks, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Been a couple years, I think. I think it's been 2 years, maybe more. So
it's been 4 years.
Ask, man. That tells you what life is like.
Yeah. I looked back and it was December of 2019 when we did our last podcast, and things were a little bit different then, I would say.
Yeah. What a wild world. You've been doing a lot. I've been doing a lot. That feels like forever ago.
Oh, I know. And what's funny is I remember when we did that last podcast, you had deleted all social media. You didn't have anything of that. You know, Big Truck was really, you know, you're ramping up and starting to do that. And you tell me about all these plans you had for it. And now seeing that all come to fruition and, you know, you being a part of other companies and everything too, it's pretty cool to see.
You know, I was talking to someone about this, a good buddy of mine, Hunter Dane. He was up for Guide of the Year by the Sheep Foundation. He didn't get the award, but he's been an Alaskan guide and a professional guide his whole life. And I was just on the phone with him this morning. I said, I wonder if I create chaos to feed myself stimulus, or if it's truly things that I want to build. And lately, I'm 51 now. I've been doing this for a long time. 30 plus years in the kind of apparel, footwear, hunting, fishing space. And I had to like ask myself if I like create chaos for stimulus, or if it's truly things I want to do. And, you know, even being 51, I had a hard time answering it. And we're going to talk about a bunch of it going on. And I think it's good to just check in with yourself. But it is a lot going on. And sometimes you're like, some of our personalities, we just layer more and more and more on. And you got to make sure it's the right stuff. And what I learned, and I know you're big on family and friends, but it's got to be with the right people.
Yeah. Oh, no, most definitely. I mean, you've taught me a lot about that with business. You know, early on, for some reason, you'd latched on to me a little bit when I was first starting out and doing some of this stuff, and gave me a lot of really good advice that I've taken over the last 6 years of starting my own business and working through things. And yeah, it definitely seems like for you, you definitely like a lot of that chaos, but it also seems like you have the passion for it too. So that helps.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, Big Truck is amazing, but it's the beverage business, and it's, there's a lot of brands out there, and it's highly competitive, and it's very cash intensive, and you need a lot of financing. And I think, you know, I'm not sure if I knew all of that getting into it, if I would do it again, but we believe in the brand. It's like an all-American brand. We just signed all of Ohio. We have West Virginia. We have North Carolina. We have two distributors in Virginia. So it's like it's starting to feel like, oh, shit, all that work. And, you know, people love our beer. They love the brand. So it's really easy to sell. But everybody needs to realize every business has a business model. And beverage is a two-step business. I have to sell it to the distributor, and the distributor has to sell it to the retailer, and the retailer has to sell it to the consumer. Mm-hmm. That's hard, man. And, you know, I like these direct-to-consumer business where you can just talk to them and you can sell them some great products or services. But, yeah, I think I have a lot on my plate. I'm trying to weed through it right now. Definitely a lot going on.
Well, and it's funny because back right at the beginning when I first started advertising Big Truck stuff through the podcast and everything, the biggest question was like, where do I get it? And I'm like, well, you know, it was a more complicated answer than, you know, because of what you just said, all those steps that went through. But in the last year, the amount of pictures that I've been sent of, oh, we got Big Truck here locally now and there, like, I mean, you can go anywhere around where I'm at, where I live at, and go to any grocery store now, and there's Big Truck sitting on the rack and everything. And it's like, it's so cool to see that evolution.
Pennsylvania has been a great state for us. I mean, we're right on the Maryland PA line. So we feel a lot of affinity to Pennsylvania, but a lot of like, just like good people, hardworking, love their hunting and fishing. I'm wearing my orange hat for, you know, it's still hunting season here.
Yeah.
So, Pennsylvania has been massive for us, and we're going to continue to invest in the state. And I think Ohio is going to be really, really amazing for us. And that kind of bridges me out where I can start going out west a little bit. Most people don't realize, or maybe they do, I don't know. You know, beer is all about logistics, man. It's heavy. It takes a lot of transportation dollars to move it around. So it's like a mini logistics network.
Yeah, that sounds fun. But it was actually funny. One of my favorite places I like to go get some food and drinks at and everything. I went there. I don't know. I hadn't been there in like 8 months, and I went in this fall. And across their taps, they had three different types of Big Truck on tap, and then they I could. I mean, it's perfect because the branding is great because you can see it from a ways away on top of the, I can't think of what it's called, but where the spigot, the tap thing. Yeah. And I was like, man, that is pretty cool to be
did
able
you
to see.
Talk to him about it?
Yeah, I did. I know the owner really well. And he's like, oh yeah, we were, and they were selling out of it like crazy. So it was pretty cool to see.
Well, we're launching a really cool new American lager, called Highlight. And we have a new peach tea. So we're just trying to like give people what they want. And a lot of times that's not what the distributor wants. And the distributors are like, well, I have two other tea brands. I don't need another tea brand. I'm like, our consumers drinking more than just beer. I see it in the cooler at fishing camp, at hunting camp, the White Claws, the Trulias. You know, guys want something easy drinking. Maybe their wives are there. Maybe they just don't want to feel that way about drinking beer. So it's all about giving people what they want. So we're super pumped about our relaunch of the American Lager and the peach tea. So go into the local restaurant and see if they change out the tap handle.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. I did notice that the local grocery store, as I was going through getting groceries the other day, that they had the peach tea.
Oh really?
They had the six packs of that sitting on the rack. So that was
that
cool.
One's a dangerous one for everybody that likes to have their, you know, work hard and have one at the end of the day. That stuff doesn't even taste like alcohol. With a beer, if you chug it, you're like, I'm chugging a beer, you know? Like,
yeah.
IPA, you chug that peach tea, man, and you're like, God, give me another Kool-Aid. It doesn't even taste like alcohol.
Yeah, so. It's funny too. Like the IPAs, that's not something I guess traditionally like a lot of my family or anybody growing up in the small towns had IPAs. But whenever I do, whenever I go to deer camp, and especially when I'm doing podcasts, I bring Big Truck for everybody so that they have, and they all are just like, just
that's great.
Love it.
Well, we appreciate the support, and it's good because we want to be with folks like you and people that are passionate about the outdoors, and that's our niche, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody needs another beer brand. And so like, why does Big Truck exist? And it's like, well, if you look across the landscape at all these craft beers, I don't see a lot of people talking to hunters and fishermen. I see the national brands like Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light saying, buy me, buy me, buy me. But anybody listening, don't buy corporate products. Small, find companies you like that are small in your community and buy them. I don't care if it's Big Truck. I don't care what products they are. Don't give money to corporate America. It's a tough racket out there. It's not helping our communities.
No, and no, you're 100% right. And I think you're starting to see more of that across the board, and which is good, of people wanting to support those types of brands and doing everything. What I like about your message with Big Truck isn't that like you're not promoting people to just drink their faces off. It's this promotion of earning it. Yes, exactly right. Of like you're out hunting all day with your buddies, or you're out working all day and you have one at the end of the day, and that's kind of like that's what it's meant to be. It's not meant to promote drinking per se. It's promoting
y'all gotta be responsible. I have kids. I'm raising my kids. I own an alcohol brand. And I'm like, hey man, it's totally fine. You want to have a pop at the end of the day. You want to hang out with your friends, but it's all about being safe. It's all about being responsible. And you can have a good quality beer. You can have a couple of them. You can hang out. You can do all that, but you just have to do it with the intent that you're not being gluttonous. And that's a fine line when you're an alcohol company, because everybody wants people to just, you know, drink a ton. And that's a little part of the industry sometimes I don't necessarily agree with. So, you know, we grow our own grain, we grow our own hops, and it goes right into the product. So it's high quality product. There's not a lot of preservatives and shit you don't have to worry about. If someone's consuming a shit ton of Bud Light, I don't know what the hell's in that thing. I don't know why it can last 220 days on the shelf.
So, well, that, And I've been, you know, I've been with you at, you know, your hunting camp in Pennsylvania, and seeing like how you believe that this was meant to be consumed. You know, you have your buddies and you have your, you know, family there and everything. It's like the end of the day, everyone cracks a beer, kind of tells stories about the day. And, you know, that's kind of the nature of it.
Smart, man.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I saw a big one through the trees. I couldn't get on it. What? You couldn't get on it? All the stories at the end of the day. That's we had a good camp this year, and which makes me excited, is we had a first time hunter, my son's friend Ian. His mom doesn't even eat meat. His dad's from Newfoundland, Canada. Grew up with hunting, but they don't hunt anymore. He's 11 years old. He shot his first deer. Shot a nice little deer. So.
Oh, I mean, awesome.
First time hunter going out, and then I made the process easy for him. I cut it all up myself. We put it in bags. I gave them the best cuts, try not to overwhelm them with too much meat. And they went home with some back straps and fillets, and they like raved about it. So this kid at 11 years old, now he loves hunting. He loves deer meat. He's just pumped. And that to me is everything. And that's a little bit leads into the whole conversation about Alaska and about this new idea I have, which I was so pumped to talk to you about it, because I know you love adventure.
Yeah. And you hadn't really let much of the cat out of the bag to me, other than you were just like, I need it. You've texted me a couple times and, you know, teased about it a little bit of like, I got this new thing going on, and I could tell it was just like, this is what you've been wanting to do. And so I'd like to hear a little bit about it.
Like, I've been in the hunting and fishing space, specifically with Under Armour and now with Origin, for 25 plus years. And I say this not to disrespect anybody, not to take away from other people's products, none of that. It's just more factual so people understand where I'm coming from and where my passion lies. But when I started Under Armour Outdoors, there was no performance apparel for hunting. There was no QU or Sitka or First Light. There was none of that. And those guys have come on in the last 10, 15 years and have done amazing stuff. And they're all great brands. And I love people pouring their heart into hunting. But if you look back when I started Hunt Fish at Under Armour, you had to buy like cotton Realtree at like crappy prices at Walmart. Or maybe there was True Timber that had kind of like a nylon shell. There was no performance apparel in hunting. And so I look at my career and I'm like, okay, how do you be an innovator? How do you push hunting and fishing, culturally change the way people look at it? And so I went out and bought one of the world-class outfitters in Alaska. And so now I'm not on the client side. I'm not buying hunts. I'm taking the culture of hunting, almost 700,000 acres of exclusive hunting in the Lake Clark Preserve by Lake Iliamna. And I bought a world-class outfitter and I got the best big game fishing in the world. And I put a lot of time and energy into researching it. The name of the company is Bushwhack Alaska. The name of the lodge is Tara Rick Lodge, typical Alaskan name. And I'm going to build adventures and experiences for people to solidify hunting in the culture of people's lives. And you can't find remote anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done as much backcountry hunting as most of them, and I grew up with it, hunting the Bob Marshall in Montana and Wyoming with my dad. Like, it's hard to get remote. And so I wanted big game. I wanted remote. I wanted adventure. And I'm so pumped about it, man. And it's nerve-wracking because it's new to me, completely new. Kind of like Big Truck was. I never run a beer business before. So I like to push myself to try things new. And I have an unbelievable former owner Eric is going to stay on board, and my business partner Tim Winslow is an Alaskan guide. So I'm pumped, man. Like, oh, man. So on and on and on and on. But I knew you'd be excited to talk about
it. Yeah. No, that is awesome. And I guess, so what, first of all, I guess, what will you be guiding there? Will be just like every species that's in Alaska is in that range?
Moose is awesome. It books out pretty far because you got to manage the numbers. You can't just shoot the moose out.
Yeah.
A ton of brown bear, a ton of grizzly. They don't even really promote black bear hunting, but in my area, it's over-the-counter black bear tag, and you can shoot three. So we're going to really build up the black bear hunting. So you got moose, grizzly, brown, black bear, wolf, doll sheep, and some of the most unbelievable fishing in the world. It's Lake Iliamna. It's the largest freshwater lake in Alaska. It's about the same size as Lake Erie. And it has over 600 streams that connect. And the fishing, salmon, rainbow, grayling, sockeye. The lake even has, it's the only freshwater lake that has native seals in it because it was sealed off from the ocean. It's just, it's like, it's everything I wanted it to be. And some of the areas, obviously, in Alaska, you share hunting rights with other guides. But we have a large portion of our hunting territory that's exclusive only to Tim Winslow, my partner.
Man, that is so cool. And is that area, is that something that you have to fly into? Or is that an area that you can drive into?
Yeah, so Alaska will kill you with logistics. It is a remote lodge. You cannot drive to it. Once you get there, there are some roads and some cars in there. But Iliamna has a Coast Guard airport, and you can fly into Iliamna on a plane. Or you can fly into, it's 48 minutes via float plane south of Anchorage.
Okay, gotcha.
And to get people into hunting logistically, our furthest flight is 45 minutes. Most people we can drop off in 15, 20 minutes from the lodge. So I have two remote lodges in two different lakes. And funny enough, I was going through the equipment list, seeing what came with the purchase. And Bo, this is how I roll. And you know that. I didn't even know I bought a plane. Got a Super Cub in it.
That's awesome. So
I'm a plane owner. I'm kind of fancy.
Are you going to learn to fly it?
I'll probably force my brother Kobe to do it because he's the old helicopter mechanic.
Okay. Yeah.
anybody wants Kip flying them in and out of hunting camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't trust you, Kip, but I might pick somebody else first.
Yeah. Now we'll contract with a lot of great. We need more than one plane. We'll operate three or four planes for the season. It's open from April 15th to about October 15th, and then they do in Alaska what they call they pickle the lodge and shut it down, and then they open it back up in April. And so, yeah, I think I'll be there with Cam on snowmobiles trying to kill some bears coming out of the snow with our bows.
Have you ever wanted to have Levi Morgan, Andy May, Johnny Stewart, and others available at all times? Well, you can with Cyber Scout from Spartan Forge. Cyber Scout is like the ChatGPT for outdoors men and women. You can ask it any questions related to bow building, scouting, hunting, survival, and a whole lot more. I think you'll be impressed with how it responds. Cyber Scout is currently out now for a select group of early beta testers and will be available to the rest of you really soon. The entire app is a complete tool for planning your hunt with incredible aerial imagery mapping, journaling, deer prediction, and some of the most accurate and detailed weather data. Use the code EASTMEETSWEST to save 20%. And if you're still on the fence, give the 14-day free trial a chance at SpartanForge.ai. CVA has been America's number one selling muzzleloader brand for over a decade. Hunting with a muzzleloader opens up a ton of hunting opportunities across the U.S., and I've been using the Acura series. But they don't only make badass muzzleloaders. Their line of centerfire rifles are great quality and not terrible on the wallet.
The Cascade Short Barrel is ideal for tight quarters, deer drives, and quick shots in the big woods. You can check out their line of muzzleloaders, rifles, and accessories for every season and every range at bpioutdoors.com/CVA. If you use the code EASTMEETSWEST10, you'll get 10% off of all CVA products, which includes rifles, muzzleloaders, and accessories. Oh man, that is so cool. And that's because when you guys did the Once We Were Wolves film, I saw something where you had said, first of all, that film was absolutely incredible. And secondly, I saw where you had said, you know, part two coming. And that sounds like that would be such a cool adventure.
Yeah, it's a little bit of heritage. My grandfather was from Fairbanks. I have been hunting. I've killed a number of species, moose, brown bear, and grizzly. I've been hunting Alaska for 15 plus years. It just feels like home to me. And that's funny being from, you know, living in Maryland. And, you know, but I was born in Utah. My dad's from Great Falls, Montana. My grandfather was from Fairbanks, and then he actually moved to New York City. So for me, a little bit of like a little bit of going home, like Alaska and the wilderness to me is, I feel the most at peace.
Yeah. I was up in Alaska this past September. Yep. I was moose hunting and I'd been up there a few times now, and I just have fallen in love with going there. And it's funny, my grandfather, he didn't grow up there, but he was a fire jumper in Alaska back in, I don't remember what years, in the 60s, I believe, maybe earlier 50s.
Can you imagine what it was like in the 60s?
No, and he was saying he'd spend 3 months out in the wilderness fighting these fires, like before they'd, you know, go back, they'd get dropped off and food would get dropped off by plane and all of this stuff. And you know, he's driven there multiple times, and just like hearing those stories and seeing these old photographs that he has really like made it for me of like, I want to go there and hunt as much as I possibly can. And it's so cool when you go there and you don't have to worry about other people. You don't see any other people. It's true remote wilderness, and it's an eye opening experience. I mean, when you get dropped off in the middle of nowhere, whether you're by yourself or even with a couple people, it's a lonely feeling at first until you kind of get the feel for it, you know. And when I spent 13 days up there moose hunting, dropped off at a lake, sleeping in a tent, it was just like, holy cow, yeah, this is everything that I need. It has to be right here in my backpack.
Yeah, I mean, I was in bear camp 4 years ago, and it took us 17 hours to get the Coast Guard to parachute in on a guy that got mauled by a grizzly. And, you know, people think like, well, you know, I carry my emergency responder, I'll just press the button and the cavalry will be here. Well, the cavalry in Alaska might be 24 to 36 hours away. And, you know, the cavalry in Northwest Pennsylvania probably gets you in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so you got to think, about who you're with. You got to think about your skills. I'm going to take this pretty seriously. I'm even going to open up an emergency medical course on my lodge where people can come fish a little bit, hang out, wildlife view, and they can take an emergency medical class as part of our kind of like growth of the lodge. I'm not just going to focus on hunting. We're going to have a backpacking class and a survival class. So we're really going to try to round out the culture. That's what I want to invest in. And this is why maybe behind the scenes, when I started off with, well, I started Under Armour and this, that, and the other. What I'm trying to paint a picture is that I am going to continually invest in the cultural of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. And the only way I've realized to pass something on is to build brands and let them live forever. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think Under Armour is going to go away anytime soon. I don't think Origin is going to go away anytime soon. I don't think Jocko Fuel is going to go away anytime soon. Big Truck is not going away anytime soon. They'll be there when I'm dead, and that means I pass on something that lives longer than I do. So this Bushwhack Alaska, and you'll love my motto, die with your boots on, is it's going to be passed on to my kids. It's going to be passed on to other people, and people that come there are going to be like, yeah, I did my wilderness training school at Bushwhack, Alaska.
Yeah.
And that to me solidifies hunting, fishing, and outdoors as a part of our way of life. That to me is the important part. I get excited about products and selling things to people and seeing their reaction. But at the end of the day, if we don't have these experiences, we can't fall in love with it. You can't just fall in love with the products you own.
Yeah.
The products unlock the experience.
Yeah.
And I wanted to invest, Bo, in the experience part, not just the product part.
Yeah, the products make the experience better, hopefully. Like that's the more comfortable or however, whatever they're designed to do. But those experiences, and I like the aspect that you just said, the training aspect, which is something that I've really tried to focus on a lot, is like giving people the skills to be able to have those experiences and make those experiences that much better. And, you know, with being able to have, you know, the backcountry first aid or medicine, you know, that type of training and learning about how to use the gear that you have to be able to keep you alive and thriving in the wilderness, like all that stuff, you can have all the best gear in the world. But if you don't know how to use it and you don't know how to, you know, thrive and survive out there, then that's a whole nother thing.
I grew up with it. I have a Vietnam dad who was way more comfortable being lost in the woods than he was being around people. And so at every turn, we were backcountry. You know, I've posted on my Instagram when I'm in, you know, middle school, sixth grade, fifth grade, and we're 60 miles back. I mean, that's how we lived. I mean, it was very comfortable to just have shit on my back and deal with whatever you got. And, you know, along the way, you learn some tricks to make yourself a little bit more comfortable. But it's the mindset to survive, and it's the mindset to survive and thrive when everything else seems not possible.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes great people.
Oh no, most definitely. And once you learn these skills and you're able to put yourself in those environments, I say it all the time, but it helps you so much in every other aspect of your life. If you can go through and weather out the storms and you're able to learn how to be patient and you got to be socked in a tent for 2 days and be able to go through all these situations, you come back to at regular life and things that people are flying off the handle over email on aren't as big of a deal as you think, and you can handle them and look at them in more of a clear mind and make decisions better than if you didn't go through that type of that stress or that I don't want to say hardship, but you know what I mean, like just putting yourself through those situations.
And for young adults, it's been proven. I did a study with a group and Johns Hopkins around behavioral science, and we paired kids in sixth and seventh grade with police officers in their community, and we put them into the outdoors, and we showed that the bond that they could create was massive. And to give these kids life skills early on by challenging them in the outdoors, we had all these great results from the study, and they tracked the kids over 4 or 5 years and the police officers. And unfortunately, the program got dropped here in Baltimore City a few years yet, but it ran for a few years. And, you know, I donated a significant amount of money to get it off the ground because I believed in getting people to the outdoors. It wasn't about hunting. It wasn't about fishing. The outdoors is such an equalizer for young adults. And I want to really talk about that fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade before they get into high school. Obviously, there's never a time that's too late, but it's actually been proven if you can get them during those developmental years, it has confidence, motivation, you know, resilient. And we know what it's like just being adults going through it. But yeah. I truly believe that what my dad did at that age, I mean, he grinded my, you know what, into the dirt. I mean, yeah. I remember hiking the Sierra Nevadas when my dad was stationed in San Diego. And I had never hiked the Sierra Nevadas before. Well, the Sierra Nevadas suck because they're straight the fuck up. Yeah. And they're all cut by people with horses. They're not cut by hikers. And man, I hated it. And I was in sixth grade. Hated it. Wanted to kill my dad. Thought he was the worst human being known to mankind. I don't think I talked to him for weeks after he made me go on that trip. We stayed up all night. We had to stack rocks outside of our tent because the black bears in the Sierras are something to be rivaled with because you can't hunt them. But I'm resilient today because of that.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's helped you today to be able to go on these Alaska trips and go, you know, elk hunting and doing all these things that, that you've been able
and
to
just to, hey, in business.
In business, yeah.
It doesn't work. I'm trying to string together a bunch of shit right now, and I'm, like, stressed as shit. And people are like, oh, you must have a great life, Kip. I'm like, no, dude. Like, I'm working hard to get all this shit to work. Nobody cares about my past. They don't give a fuck. They, no. You got to run a good business.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, Bo, and I'm excited to get you out there and your friends. And I and if anybody listening can send me 13 Pacific Waves, send me a DM. But this black bear thing, spot and stalk black bear with wolf combo all over the counter. You don't have to draw. We're going to blow it out of the water and just make some great adventures. And then my brother, I don't know if you know Kobe, but he owns Rise Fishing. And so we're super pumped about the fly fishing. It's unbelievable. These guys are sending me pictures of rainbows that are like 29 inches long. I get excited if I catch like a 15 to 18 inch rainbow.
Yeah.
Alaska is just so different.
It's, you know, everything's bigger and everything's better in Alaska. That's for sure.
Hit a moose when you were out there?
I did not. No. And in 13 days we were there, I never saw a legal bull. And the area that I was in had to be 50 inches wide or 4 brow points. And I had one came in about 60 yards that he was right on that line, but I didn't want to risk doing that. So. Wasn't worth it, but it was a low density area. Kind of knew that was going to be the nature of it. Did see a black bear though that I was like, I had a tag in my pocket and I'm like, do I want to stalk a black bear when I'm hunting moose? I need to focus on what I'm doing. And then I was like, you know, fuck it, I'm going to go chase that black bear. And by that time, I lost track of him and couldn't find him again.
Yeah, I think a lot of bear population around the country, specifically Alaska and certain areas, but obviously Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, we got Ohio. I think I would really encourage everybody to get excited about black bear hunting. And I'm going to now be on the outfitter side. I need people to come hunt black bears. They're killing the moose and the caribou. Yeah. During calving season, grizzlies, browns, and black bears wreak havoc on the recruitment rate of caribou and moose. And moose populations across have struggled for a variety of reasons, but the number one is bears. Wolves are pretty good hunters, but where we're at, you don't see them a ton. But there's a reason why in my area, you can shoot 3 black bears.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they want you to shoot bears.
And I will tell you, like, so the first time I actually hunted bears was in Montana in the spring. It was last year. And I went and I spot and stalked and I killed a big boar. And it was like, I live in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of bears, but I've never really focused on hunting them. But getting to do it spot and stalk and hunting them that way, that was one of the most fun hunts that I've ever done. And I had looked at doing that in Alaska too, because it's one of those things, like you said, it's an over the counter tag. There's a lot of them and it's a lot easier even from a, you know, a monetary standpoint and everything else to be able to go hunt black bears and do it more regularly than even hunting some of the other big game species. So
we're allowed to bait in the area that I'm in, but we're really going to focus on that spot and stalk. And, you know, baiting in Alaska logistically in a remote area, getting food in and out. So there's plenty of bears. We don't need to bait with it. And they're actually quality meat. So most of them live off of berries. So you tend to have a really good meat to take home. Obviously, the preferred meat in Alaska is moose, but black bear up there is really good. Most people don't touch the brown bear and the grizzly. That's mostly a conservation hunt and to limit the numbers. But the meat on black bear is great. So I'm just so like, I'm like in it to win it, man. I'm trying to figure it out. I was excited to come on the podcast and talk about it, but, I'm also going to partner with Origin and get some clients, some gear, and partner with Montana Knife Company and some great companies to just like bring them to Alaska. And we have a lot of control because I own lodges and I own the logistics, and a significant portion of my hunting is exclusive. So we're not fighting other outfitters, like it's it, man. Like we're it. And so the Lake Clark Preserve is the least traveled national park in the world, or at least in the United States. I think less than 10,000 people a year come to this place. It's massive. Yeah. Everything from alpine, dall sheep, all the way down to the lowlands, and thousands of rivers and lakes. I mean, I started looking at the map and I started going, Kip, what the fuck did you do?
I can imagine. And when, so when is this going live? Like when can you find information?
I'm the owner. Like the deal went through, the 2024 season will be under my ownership. Eric, the current owner, or the previous owner who just sold it to me, 19 years, savage, built it up. He's going to stay on. He's a great resource. He wants us to be successful. Tim Winslow, who's obviously my main partner, he's the Alaskan guide. I'm going to really learn from him. And this is not a Kip thing. It's really a Tim and an Eric thing. But I was able to make the deal get put together. So it's April 12th. It's wide open, man. We got a hunting season under my belt. So I'll be a packer for 2 years and get my Alaskan guide license. I'm probably the only executive that's worked at any company ever at the size and shape of Under Armour to go become a packer in Alaska and get my assistant guides license. So I'll work underneath Tim and Eric to earn, you got to get 60 days, 2 years in a row. So you got to get 30 and 30. Mm-hmm. And you have to be present for, I think, 3 or 4 big game kills. And then you can apply for your assistant guide license underneath a registered guide. So that's my plan, man. That's my plan.
That's my awesome. My
family, we're all going to do the same thing. I mean, hey, man, you want to get your days, come on out.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So Kobe's going to go up with you too and do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Right.
Yeah.
Who's going to say no? Matter of fact, I don't want to be friends with you if you say no.
I know. that is such an incredible opportunity. And just the location, everything about it, that's, The truly, they call Alaska the last frontier for a reason. I mean, going up there,
it can be really expensive. I mean, we sell some doll sheep hunts for 50, 60 grand. We sell moose hunts for 38 to 40 grand. And so I started looking at it going, okay, like those hunts are premium and it's a certain clientele and we have to cater to that. And I really wanted to make sure everybody could have and take advantage of what we have. So my fishing is reasonable. The black bear is going to be reasonable. And so I wanted to have kind of like a good, better, best strategy.
Yep.
So we can get a lot of people out there. And we have a lodge that sleeps, 20 or 30 people. It's very comfortable. We got 40 Arctic oven tents. I mean, it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be wild.
Oh, that is so, so cool. And so that, with that being said, it looks like, you've owned the historic North Fork Lodge here in Pennsylvania. And was it 7,000 acres of land nestled within all this public land around big woods, mountainous type area there. And I'd noticed here recently that you had listed that up for sale to be able to focus your efforts on this new project.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Mobile Hunters Expo is a consumer-based hunting show unlike any other. It provides an interactive learning experience where you can try all things mobile hunting and learn from the best in the business. Come experience an unbiased, community-based environment where you can improve your hunting skills and find the right equipment for your needs. I'll be speaking at the Nor'easter Show in Mannheim, Pennsylvania at Spooky Nook Sports from August 9th to 11th, 2024. So come check it out or either of the other shows in Michigan and Georgia. You can purchase tickets online at themobilehuntersexpo.com or grab tickets at the door. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I think I learned in life, like we, you know, like, am I creating stimulus? Am I just throwing more and more things on my plate? And so I was very cautious to say, hey, Kip, come on, Alaska, you live in Maryland. So, you know, I have this amazing lodge. I've owned it for 16 years. And I just said, you know what? It's time is right to kind of put it out there, see if someone's interested in it. And find the right buyer. It has to be the right person who really appreciates what they're getting. It's funny because the Whitetail Properties, who's listing it for me, they're like, we've never seen anything like this. This is, we've never had anything like this. There's nothing like this that exists in the Northeast or the East Coast. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I bought it. Yeah. Like, you drive around, it takes you 4 hours to get around the property. And you've been there, and we both of us have been there, and I still haven't set foot on all the property.
Yeah.
It's and so it's an amazing opportunity for maybe a group of people, maybe a club, maybe some pro ball players. You know, it's not a cheap price. I don't think the average man's going to come in and scoop it up. Yeah, it's for sale, and I'm not hiding it. I don't feel guilty about it. I feel like great. Like, unbelievable run. We've done deer studies. We've put food plots in. We had a deer biologist, Dr. Carl Miller, Andy. We've managed that place to the till. And some of the bucks we have on camera and some of the bucks we killed this year and the bears, the turkey. I mean, it's Shangri-La. And I know you're like, how do I scrape the money together to buy Northbrook? Because it's like perfect for you.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I think maybe, you know, maybe 200-300 years of beer delivery for you might be able to pay it off. I don't know, whatever it takes, but
but don't, no, don't it's sell short, man. Don't sell yourself short. Give yourself a couple years.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really special place there, and for anyone listening or anybody that's been listening, that's been to the Mountain Buck Scouting Camp, that's where it's been at the last couple of years at Kip's property there. He's been gracious enough to let me use that property and lodge.
Place you can always come down if it sells. You know, I got the two farms in Maryland that, you know, by all means are at your fingertips. We got 300 acres here in Parkton and another 300 acres down on the shore. We just shot a hammer down on the shore. My head brewer sends me a picture. I'm up in Pennsylvania for the opening day of deer season with my kids, and my head brewer sends me a picture of a 161 buck he just shot.
Yeah, Derek sent me the picture too.
Mike, what am I doing here?
Yeah. That so thing is I an was, absolute I was pretty giant. Yeah. Derek is an awesome, awesome guy. I mean, talented.
Really, really talented brewer.
Yeah. Yeah, and photographer and videographer. Yeah. He came up and helped me for the scouting camp, and he filmed a bunch of stuff and hung out and been a part of a bunch of other projects.
So his first day bow hunting on the farm where the brewery is, he kills a non-typical like 14-pointer. And then his first day of gun season, which he doesn't really gun hunt that much, he shoots this thing. So, I mean, the guy's got a horseshoe up his ass.
That's awesome.
Well, it's been fun, and you know, let's work together on the Alaska thing. And you know, I think if anybody's out there listening and you have an interest in fishing or black bear or any of the other species, you know, bushwhack Alaska, Kip Folk. So let's you know, that's the funny thing about the guiding and outfitter business. It's all about the clients and making sure they have a great experience. Making sure they get what they want, because they're putting a lot of money into it, and they might only do it once in their whole lifetime.
And
I'm very focused on giving people like what they deserve, like best in class. And I think, you know me, I don't want to do anything short.
No, and I think what's a unique situation that you're in is you've been someone that's been paying these outfitters and going to these places for so many years that you know what you want and what you like and what you don't like. So to be able to take that and put that into your own business, that's being able to serve others in that way is a really cool, I guess, aspect of being able to do that.
I mean, just think about how many times you book a hunt and you call the guy like, hey, how's it going? What should I bring? What clothes do I need? Just those little things. And you know what? The outfitter's busy. He's got clients. He's got friends and family. He's trying to run a small business. So I'm really looking at technology. I'm looking at video content, really trying to make the consumer experience where like, man, these guys at Bushwhack, it's just like so easy. They send me a video. It had everything I needed to bring. It was from the head guide. He told me about what was going on. They told me about what rifle to think about. I'm going to really try to lean into all the things I've learned over the years to make it a great experience. And I also want to promote Alaska. I want other outfitters in Alaska to benefit and people to look at Alaska as a real destination. So I have reached out to the governor's office and you know, really just want to be a part of how to make Alaska an amazing place. Even though I'm a Maryland resident, it's important to me.
Yeah. And so to say what you said about adding like some technology and everything into it to help make it simpler for people, the one thing I've learned about booking anything in Alaska is that, you know, first of all, everything is so remote. So talking to the outfitters or the transporters or whatever is difficult to get a hold of for a lot of times, and be able to knowing what you need to do, it's a very tough thing. It's the logistic aspect of that is extremely difficult. If you can figure out how to utilize some technology with videos and educating people to do that, I think you would create a really cool experience and make it simpler for people to be able to make that happen. Because I mean, I like a little bit of the kind of struggle and figuring it out, because it's kind of part of the adventure with it. But I think that's one of the reasons that people are kind of hesitant to make that jump into it.
Yeah, no, I think people pay for a service and you should give them all the opportunities. You know, they don't have to watch the video, but you should at least give them the opportunity to. So I'm pretty pumped about it. And we're going to partner with some great other brands. It's funny because at noon, I got the president of Field Ethos on the phone, where I want to talk to magazines. I want to just, you know, this is important to me to build a business and a brand, but I'm looking at the reasons behind the scenes. And the reason is I just believe there's a culture war happening sometimes right in front of our face. Sometimes it's underground, and more of us need to get involved in building businesses that are employ people, that have customers, that are profitable, that are building brands. And it's because of the outdoors. That's the only way, man. You can't sit back on your couch and help fight this culture war.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Kip. And I've been trying to take a lot of the advice that you've taught me throughout the years and apply it to my own businesses and learning and take things that you're passionate about and want to change the world.
Punching the clock 9 to 5.
It feels good. It feels really good. it's scary sometimes, but it's good.
Yeah, I've never worked for anybody. I've never had a job where someone else paid my paycheck, and people don't understand. It's liberating. But man, you know, like also making sure other people's paychecks don't bounce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nerve wracking, man. It's hard. And I feel a lot of responsibility for, you know, 50 plus people at Big Truck. And then obviously Origin and Jocko Fuel, I'm a partner in now. And I feel responsible for all those people. It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I've come to learn that, and everything that I have ideas and things you want to do and trying to make it work, and it's you've said one thing to me before about focused effort and really trying to put focused effort into things, and that's really stuck. So I've tried not to spread myself too thin, but enough where I'm able to, you know, keep the ball rolling and keep it going. And some days I feel like I'm on top of the world. Other days I feel like my head's barely above water, but it's just this constant. And I think you just keep working at it.
That's it. You feel like you're bobbing like a buoy in the ocean. And sometimes you get dragged down in a storm, and sometimes you're like, damn, it's sunny out. I don't know, man. It's just, I think we like it like that.
Yeah, I know. I think you're 100% right. Well, Kip, I don't want to take any more of your time up, so I really appreciate you coming on. Everybody go check out your Instagram, 13 Pacific Waves, and then Bushwhack Alaska.
Yeah, well, I want to say this to everybody. I'm always super impressed with you. I always love watching what you do. I think the way you've presented yourself to the marketplace, you were yourself. You didn't try to become someone else. You just said, hey, here's who I am. And I think over the years, it's starting to pay back to you. So, you know, for all the listeners out there, you know, that want to do things, and just do things that are aligned with who you are, and you'll be successful. And I think, Bo, you're a perfect example of that. And there's so much more to do, and we never give ourselves credit on where we're at today. I surely don't do it. So it's nice occasionally when someone gives you a shout out, but I think you've done a hell of a job, man.
Oh, I really appreciate that, and appreciate all the help that you've given me throughout the years.
Shit, most people just ignore what I say.
I've even rebranded this year after, based off a comment you made about my logo being too complicated years ago, and I've
dope. So I was right about that.
I know you were. I believe me. Sometimes it might take a little bit longer for me to take all the advice and put it into action, but I've listened to your advice. It's all up here.
Well, one of my favorite hats is still your orange Eats Meets West hat that I wore all through buck season. So I was definitely representing.
I know you are, man. I appreciate that.
Well, awesome. I appreciate it, Bo. And hope your family and friends have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit eastmeetswesthunt.com, Facebook at East Meets West Outdoors, and Instagram at East Meets West Hunt. If you enjoyed today's episode, please review and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.